Thank you all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Today, I've got Mr. Chuck Hutchinson from, it's not Milan, it's Telfair, right?
McRae? It's McRae, Telfair County, yeah.
McRae, Georgia. Mr. Chuck has been in the music business for an extremely long time his whole life. He's helping me out here. We're actually hopefully going to end up helping each other, but right now he's really putting in the legwork with me trying to get some of this equipment set up right. Mr. Chuck, won't you, you got a lot of years in it, so you don't have to tell them every little thing, but won't you tell them a little bit about your past to where they know who you are?
Well, first of all, it's cool to be here, man. Y'all buckle up, and I'll try to keep it short and sweet and to the point. My name is Chuck Hutchinson. I'm originally from Soperton, Georgia, just up the road. Moved to McRae in 86 when I was 14.
I was born in 87.
Unfortunately, I got a baby face, and I've taken care of myself.
I had no idea you were 48 years old. Yeah, well, you damn sure don't look it.
Good genes, and never partied too hard, and always worked out on and off a little
I'm
bit.
I'm screwed then.
I've been lucky. Give God a little credit. I've got some good genes, good family. They raised me right. I'll give them credit. And I've worked out on and off, too. I mean, I ain't no small fella.
You can look at me and tell.
I'm about 270. Never did play football. Music was my thing. And
I wish I was an athlete growing up. I wish I loved everything that I learned from being an athlete, but I wish my parents would have, when they saw I was not going to be a professional athlete or ever got paid, I wish they would have put an instrument in my hand and made me learn music.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a knack for it. I wasn't like a savant or anything, obviously, but I mean, if I picked up an instrument, I could, in just a few minutes, I could make some decent notes out of it, and I could pick out little melodies on the piano, you know, and so I kind of went that direction. When it's funny how I started playing. My first instrument was trumpet.
Trumpet.
That was my first instrument.
I would not picture trumpet was your fixing
your
answer.
Well, I'm looking a little scruffy and hairy in my old age. I kind of got this.
Oh, you look like a rocker.
I kind of got this backer hippie Jesus thing going on, you know.
I like it.
But, and the funny thing was when the reason I picked trumpet, when I was a kid, my grandparents used to watch Hee Haw every weekend, you know, on Saturday nights, whenever it was. And there was this trumpet player doing it was like a battle, a duel with a fiddle player. Mm-hmm. Fiddle player play fast, trumpet player just try to follow him, you know. And I don't remember who it was. It might have been Al Hurd or somebody like that. And as a 4 or 5 year old kid, I'm like, I like that. So when I got 10 years old, fifth grade band rolled around, I'm like, I'm going to play the trumpet. That's what I'm going to do. And you know, my band director at the time, Stuart Stanley, he was out of Dublin, Georgia. He was a crazy nut. He said, no, you need to play trombone. I'm like, no, I'm going to play trumpet. And I ended up playing trumpet. I was real good at it. Sat first chair the whole time, fifth, sixth, seventh grade band. As a guy in high school, I actually ended up being our top district trumpet player for my last 2 years of high school.
That's cool.
And ended up going to Georgia Southern. But, yeah, I started playing trumpet because of Hee Haw, of all things. You know, at one time, I saw one trumpet player on Hee Haw, probably the only trumpet player ever been on Hee Haw. Yeah, but
how did you once you got out of high school, what was kind of your music path after that?
Well, I actually wanted to take a year off and not go straight to college, but Dad's like, no, you need to go to college. You probably get a job and start making money, not want to go to college. And Dad was real big on college, and so I ended up going to Valdosta State, but I didn't like my advisor, so I ended up pulling out of Valdosta State, and I ended up going to Georgia Southern, which I enjoyed, had a better time, and learned a good bit.
Oh, Valdosta State ruined. Well, Valdosta ruined me.
I'm okay. I'm actually liking Valdosta State. I just did not like my advisor at the time, and I won't say his name. He might even be dead now. I don't know. But they had a good music department. I'll give them that. And there were some great people there, but I just didn't like my advisor. So I'm like, screw this. I'm going to Georgia Southern.
Well, Georgia Southern. I stayed out of Statesboro somehow coming up. I don't know how. It was always Valdosta for me. I never really – I partied in Statesboro like 2 or 3 times, but I think I hurt so bad after I left Statesboro those 2 or 3 times, I never wanted to go back.
Statesboro was great. I got there right when they first started building the bypass. My first year there was fall of 91 when I started. And, man, our apartments, I was staying in Park Place. I know everybody probably knows where that at. They old by now. That's probably where all the ghetto folks stay now. But they were building that bypass right behind Park Place, this long stretch of apartments. And in the morning times when they were scraping that road to pave it, them big dump trucks come in at 7 in the morning, let the lift up, dump the dirt out. You know how dump trucks are. Mm-hmm. When they get it, they want to make sure all the dirt's out, so they'll scoot forward, and that tailgate will go, ka-bam, ka-bam, ka-bam. 7 in the morning. College students don't want to hear that crap, man.
Hell no, not being there. I promise you, my head would be pounding at 7 in the morning most days.
But I wasn't a big party animal. I mean, I did my music stuff pretty good, and I was actually doing a lot of church music, too, with a couple different groups, and that helped me kind of grow as a performer because you're playing with different musicians, different settings, and but every chance I got, I'd go down to Savannah and hit the blues clubs, open mic nights.
I didn't know you was into that. See, blues is my favorite genre of music. When I was probably 21, 22, I went out with a group from high school. And it was a bunch of friends, hadn't seen in a long time, and we were in downtown Macon. And it was where everybody wanted to go to this dance club. And I was like, okay, well, I'll go with y'all. It's cool. I walked past this bar, and they were playing blues. It was this old black bar. And bluesy as it can be, I mean, the best music you ever heard.
Was it Grant's Lounge?
No, I love Grant's Lounge. Yeah. It was something else. It was
550.
What it was. It was on one of the side streets. It wasn't on Cherry or on Poplar. It was on a side street. So I think it was plus five, whatever it was. But I heard the music was playing, and I told my friends, there's probably about 20 of them, and I was like, I'll see y'all in a few minutes. I want to go check this place out. Mm-hmm. I went in there. I sat down in the bar with this old black man. I talked to him for 3 hours, drinking mm-hmm. beer and whiskey. And I had a time in my life. I knew right then, like, I do not have to fit in a mold ever again. Blues music mm-hmm. has saved me.
I loved it, man. Every chance I got. And I was a good enough horn player that I could actually hang with some of the good players in Savannah. So they would invite me to come sit in with them. And I did a lot of gigs with Eric Culberson. I don't know if you know Eric.
I don't know that name.
When Eric was younger and had his trio, dude, it was like a Stevie Ray Vaughan type trio.
Oof.
He could have gone play. I don't know. To this day, I don't know why he didn't do more than he did. I think he's one of these guys. He just liked his own little circuit. And
some people are just comfortable like that.
Yeah.
They say George Jones was that way. I watched this documentary on him not long ago, and they say the reason why George was no show Jones for so many times is because he just didn't want to play in front of certain people.
You know, I got a pretty good connection that through his daughter Georgette.
What?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I've used her husband Jamie. He's a great pedal steel player. I used him on some tracks for Aaron Tanner.
Just became a new best friend. Yeah. I would love to meet any of the Jones family.
Yeah. Now, I haven't met him. I've talked to Jamie on several times. I hadn't talked to Georgia yet.
Okay.
But Aaron's manager is Terry Richardson from Mount Vernon, Georgia. Terry is a Grand Ole Opry member.
Ah.
And so Terry is he's actually going to be trying to book Georgette down here for some shows. So this might be something we could kind of talk to him about.
But, yes. Just tell me what it would to get George Jones' daughter down here, Georgette. Now, we'll do it.
You know, the funny thing is, for years she didn't want to really do any music. And
can you blame her?
Well, no, not really. No.
When dad's George Jones? That's like, you ever heard
of Tammy Wynette. I mean, good.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize I didn't know if that was from that mm-hmm. marriage or not.
I think she was the youngest, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's my age. She's 48 now.
Damn. That's like with Travis Tritt's daughter, too. I think Travis Tritt's one of the most underrated musicians of all time. I think he's one of my favorite country singers anyway.
You know why? Probably why, because he's so bluesy.
Yeah. Southern rock and blues and half his stuff. And his daughter is phenomenal.
I saw a clip of her the other day.
Phenomenal. And it's like, why is she not out there? But you got to live up to your daddy. Mm. That's about a bitch.
That can be tough, yeah. But knowing Terry like I do, who's close friends with him, Terry's one of these guys. He never made it big in music, but he was always big in radio, and he tried his hand mm-hmm. at promotions, and so he knew all the old guys. I mean, he actually got married in the Ryman. My buddy Terry, and that was back right before Garth Brooks hit big, and at that time Nashville was kind of in a low spell. I mean, you could walk down the main street.
The 80s with country music was weird.
Like, yeah,
there was a little bit right at the beginning, and then right at the end.
Yeah, it was weird. I remember those were my high school years, and you know, I was, you know, 80s hair metal was just the thing, man.
I hate 80s hair metal.
I went through. I mean, when you were in high school in the 80s, late 80s, I mean, it was just, you couldn't get away from it, and it was amazing to see the growth and the explosion of it. it blew in, blew up, and blew out. I mean, there's no other way to explain.
Thank God.
You know, I mean, there was some good stuff. It's like, I like good music. I don't care what genre it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see kind of modern country, and I hate to get all negative, but it's like modern country.
Oh, I hate modern country.
It's following that same route. It's like, okay, well, this is what's selling now. Let's do 10 other things like it.
I think you're right. I think Nashville at some point in time screwed up, and they was like, okay, this is what's putting it out there, so we're going to neglect these other folks. Tyler Childers, Sturgill Simpson, folks like that. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Chris Stapleton and Jamie Johnson, I don't think we know who some of these folks are.
Yeah.
I think that they made it to where Nashville kind of looks away or whatever, but the fact that like Sam Hunt and whatever his name is, Kane Brown, and all of them are up on the charts the way they are, it just doesn't make sense.
It's a money thing. Nashville has seen, if we throw a little pop in there, we'll cater to this much larger genre and get more fans. It's all about money. I mean, the music business, it's always been kind of shady on one hand.
Absolutely it is. But I think, I've talked about it several times on this show, I think that music takes a turn every 10, 15 years or whatever. I think we're at the very end of the pop phase of country. How like the 90s had like the real influence of Southern rock and blues and real upscoot, boot scooting stuff. And then it turned poppy real quick, like in the early 2000s. I think we're coming out of it because of Eric Church and Luke Combs and folks like that's Chris Stapleton and folks that can actually sing and everything.
My studio partner, he's good friends with Dallas
Davison,
the songwriter.
Yeah, I know Dallas. I don't know him. One of my friends worked for Play It Again Records. So I've been in the studio with them a couple times.
But you know how Honky Tonk Bononky Donk was written, don't you?
Uh-uh.
Dallas and Jamie Johnson and somebody else was sitting in a bar in Nashville just hanging out. They wasn't hardly 10 people in the bar. But these middle-aged old ladies coming in. They was drunk, just having a good old time, just dancing to themselves, three or four old middle-aged ladies. And they were just kind of cutting up with each other. You know how guys are when we get together. He's like, man, we need to write that little lyric down. So they were drunk, too. They were drinking a good bit. So
I bet they were.
And they were just hanging out after a show or after a session, whatever. So they wrote some lyrics down. And didn't think nothing about it. The next day, one of them pulled that little lyric napkin, literally a napkin out of his pocket and said, man, we might can make a song out of this. You know, so they made
it becomes number one.
Yeah, that's how that one happened.
I hate people. I don't hate people. I envy people that are that talented musically, songwriters, because it's like, I'm just going to get drunk and I'm going to write this down. And then the next day, it's like, oh, damn, I forgot I even did this. Number one hit.
Man, I've worked, you know, with my little studio. I don't have a big studio, but I work with some really cool people. And, you know, it's having a studio in our area, is tough. It's almost like business suicide, you know. But
And I'm finding out, which I'm doing something different than music, but I want to get into all of us doing music together. But it is. It's because people around here, I think they kind of laugh at you.
This is a tough area.
I think that they're like, why are they doing this? This isn't where you do this, and they don't realize it. Like, Muscle Shoals was in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, music, you don't have to be in Nashville, in Memphis, or somewhere to create great music.
All it takes is one song or one artist to kind of get the ball rolling.
Yep, and same thing. I'm under the belief, and I know people get tired of hearing me say this, I think every songwriter has one unique, great song in them, if they're a good songwriter. And it's because everybody leads a different life. If they'll put their heart, their life on pen and paper, that they'll write one hell of a song. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them try to fit that mold.
Yeah.
And we've got so many just so talented people in our area that can't afford to go to Nashville. They can't afford, you know, to go back and forth. Some of them are young and they're scared. And they should be scared of Nashville because it's not a fair place.
Well, the some of the pitfalls of Nashville, there are still a lot of folks up there that know a lot of folks. I mean, Nashville's not that big of a town. I mean, you can go out in a restaurant and see Keith Urban eating in a restaurant with his wife, the Australian actress, you know. So, I mean, it's not that uncommon to see that kind of thing. So, it's kind of like I've had buddies that lived out in L.A. in Beverly Hills, and same thing. You could be walking along, see, you know, whoever, actor, Kevin Spacey, whoever, just walking in the street or shopping in a store. It's not that big of a deal in certain places. down here in the middle of nowhere, like where we're at, it's a whole different ballgame. So it's a different mindset, right? But you know, it's easier to connect when you're in the middle of everything. And I think that's part of the problem with the music industry is that all these guys, they get in this little circle and firing squad, and you know, maybe that's not the best analogy, but they all just throw ideas off each other, and it starts rolling, and it may not be the best idea, but that's what they're doing. It's what they got.
I think that there's too many people now that are trying to fit into that mold, and even when they think they have a good idea, the first thing they think of is, will this get played on country radio now? And I think that deters a lot of that stuff.
Well, it's not about the artistry anymore. It's about the dollar.
It is. That's why it's not called the record business anymore. It's the entertainment industry. Yeah. But see, that's what I want to do here, though. I want to develop that here with artists here to where you got to know your role. There's some people, and you've seen it probably more than anybody around here, there's people that probably want you to record a demo or an EP for them. And then they come in, and you're like, there's not enough fucking auto-tune. Like, whoever told you you could sing needs to have their ears checked. Like, but they could be a good songwriter. They could be good at something else. They could be a good guitarist. And this is going to be a place, and with all of us, to where we take those people and we put them together, and we hope that some magic happens between them. Because you are a middleman, just like I'm a middleman, in a way to where we get to meet people that the artist might not necessarily know. But that's like the first time I met you. You brought David McMahon. I like the hell out of that guy. He's young. And the first thing I thought when I saw him and he started singing, I was like, I need to sit him down with Megan Fowler or Corey Spires. I need to have him sit down, or even Laura Marie. I did one with her yesterday, or the other day.
You know, I recorded her in my living room about 15 years
ago. We talked about you. we talked about you
before. I hadn't caught that podcast yet. But.
Yeah, we talked about you. But yeah, so putting these folks together is going to be like our own muscle shoulder. It's going to be like our own little Nashville, because there's so many people that are just wicked talented around here. That need to be put together.
And one of the challenges of our area, and you know this as well as I do, is just venues, man. It's like, you know, if you go see a good show, you almost have to drive at least an hour sometimes.
You're in McRae.
So it's two hours, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost a cultural mindset kind of thing where it's like...
Well, you're not used to it.
And people, the local folks that don't know any other routes, they're like, well, I either go to Nashville or I just play Kerrigan's or play Ernie's and Vade or wherever, which I've played all of them. I mean, they're great friends. I love the owners of Ernie's, great folks, you know.
Yeah.
But places like that, I mean, they are what they are. But if you're going to be a real artist and have a sustainable career, you got to kind of figure out how to do it beyond that, you know.
Yeah, and I think some of them around here, they just, like you said, it's a mindset. They don't realize how talented they are, or it's the opposite effect. And it's their friends and their family boosting them up because they've never heard real artistry.
Right,
And then that's when you get these people that go out and you're like, how are you playing here? And like, I've seen some folks fall flat on their face, and it's very disheartening. I did an unsigned artist thing down in Uvalde a couple years ago when I was a bearded bastard. And I took on like 20 acts, maybe 15. And we did some prizes that night. And like the first one, we gave a couple $100 to. Second, we gave some free stuff too. And you had these folks that got up on stage and they go to play. And you're amazed by some of them. And you're like, okay. You know, there's two or three that were there that ended up at some point in time, the award show you just went to. They've been nominees for it. And they didn't have a following. They didn't have anything. Then that was not really their first thing they've done. But it was a lot of people they were in front of for like probably really the first time. And then you had some that got up there, and it's like, you need to kick your mama's ass. Like, quit listening to mama and daddy. You know. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings with that stuff, but this is besides for sports, and sports might even be less than this, the most competitive business in the world to me. Wanting to be an artist, musician is hard.
Well, you're to do it and make a living, you're blending creativity and business, and that's that is just not a good
boy. I'm thing. Finding out. I mean, oh my God, I'm finding out right now.
I've never wanted to be the front man of anything, really. Yeah. I just love music. I've always been the guy that backed up everybody else or helped them, you know, arrange or manage band, whatever, you know. And so I've never wanted to be that front guy that got the attention. I do what I do. I enjoy who I am and what I do. I mean, but I could see where if you were trying to be an artist, how frustrating and how daunting that could be because of all the things that you have to do to at least get a little momentum going, and then you're trying to build off that momentum. So it's almost like you're playing the stock market blindly, in a way.
I know what it's like for me. Now, I am one of those folks, I am good with being in front or I'm good at being a partner. It does not bother me. I am me either way. Being in front sometimes is hard. That's why I refused. I've had a lot of folks want to know how come I only do like podcasts now with guests. I don't want to work by myself. Like, I don't want to sit here and put a camera just in front of me. Mm-hmm. I want that back and forth. Mm-hmm. I want it to where, you know, me and you feed off each other because I feel like creativity thrives off of creativity.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in a situation where you're not around creative people, you're not going to come up with anything.
Well, you know, some of the best creative stuff has happened in either one or two people or more or group situation, you know. And, you know, you use the term. I mean, if I'm sitting trying to make music myself, it's like musical masturbation. It's like,
it
ain't no fun. It's always better for somebody Absolutely. Else, you know.
Absolutely. I've never heard that. That's good. So probably to get back on track here, which I like, where we was going with that anyway, but a little bit more about you before we get into some other stuff. Like in your 20s and 30s, were you in any bands or anything that kind of made a name for themselves?
Well, starting off as a trumpet player, I mean, I was a pretty dang good trumpet player, but I don't know, man. I always tried a few doors. I always figured, okay, maybe the blues rock or the jazz thing. You know, when I was younger, a dream job would have been playing a really nice jazz club 4 or 5 nights a week. I mean,
well, you said a while ago too, and you're the first person that I've had in here that even knows what it is. But you've played Grants in Macon?
Open mic. I haven't played a recruit, but
Grants.
Yeah. You know they just got bought out and they're going to remodel it, right?
I hate whoever the fuck's doing that.
I think they're going to try to keep it original. Because, I mean, it's just a historic place. I mean, if they screw with it,
it's the only historical bar in Macon. They ruined that place. Now, did the bathrooms need to be redone there? Hell yes. That was made for people 4'10" to walk into. But besides that, if they take any of those names off the wall, if they change any of that stuff on the walls. Well,
The cool thing about Macon right now, there's kind of a resurgence of some of the old music stuff. And
Capricorn's back in Macon.
I was in there the other day. A band I'm tracking. Actually, Bodine and the Poachers. They track there. They wanted to go there for a day and just do their thing. But they're like an Americana bluegrass kind of indie kind of thing. They got a great thing going on. So they went and tracked there, and they wanted me to mix it. So I just went and hung out in the control room, and it was really cool. There is a great vibe there.
Good. I would really want to get hooked up. There's somebody there that we know.
Now, I can't say as to how good their actual tracking is now. You know, I've only met the engineer one time. And the tracks that I got, I mean, they were okay. I ain't going to say they were great tracks. But you know, they were doing a different thing, though. They were trying to track everybody at one time as an acoustic group. And sometimes you run into some technical – You can run into some technical difficulties doing that. So
I don't know why you would do an acoustic group live.
Well, they kind of wanted to do the whole concept of live at Capricorn kind of thing, you know. So and they got some good tracks. I'm not putting it down, but sometimes it's harder to mix stuff like that.
I bet it is.
So, but it's actually a pretty good project. They got good songs and
are they from here?
They're from the Tifton area.
Okay.
They play down in Steinhatchee, Florida, and some places down
that
way.
I'll have to check them out. I like bluesgrass a lot.
They're kind of it's kind of a modern Americana, basically.
I'm big into Sturgill and Tyler and Zach Bryan and all them. That's kind of the vibe that they mainly give off.
The front guy, Brandon Fox, he's a really cool guy. He's funny as hell. You'd like him.
You'll have to get him in here.
He put some funny stuff up on Facebook, man.
And that's a great segue, Chuck. Yeah. That's a great segue. I didn't get to know you probably till the last couple months.
Yeah.
Me and you probably been in the same place 100 times and just damn didn't know each other. But
I don't know what kind of places you hang at.
The fun ones. I've been in some PG places, but I've been in some places you wouldn't tell anybody you went to either.
I have occasionally, but.
Before we segue,
we almost need another beer, don't we?
We can get another beer. Actually, y'all can just hold on a damn minute.
we got it right here next to Josh. He's guarding the
door. I'm telling you, I know where that thing stays right there. Cheers, sir.
Gracias. Yes.
You're very welcome. But one of the things, and you have enough knowledge of it, is everything going on right now in our country. I've been wanting to talk to someone on here so bad that actually knows what they're talking about, because I read a lot. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I was wrong about something with Harris the other day, and I had to go back and delete a post because I was 100% wrong. And
well, that's the thing. I mean, if I'm wrong about something, I'll say it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to – now, my personal conviction, and from what I see, I think – all this fraud is going to get overturned, just based on what I see. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen.
I hope that it does. That's my thing. I don't think there's a win here for anybody. That's what I'm more worried about as far as from the American citizens' point of view, is if Biden wins, we're screwed. If Trump, if they overturn everything, I think it is civil disrest. And I think that it's hell for a little while.
Well, it's yet to be seen. You know, if you read some of the stuff that will never be shown on regular media,
there's nothing getting shown on regular media right now worth a shit.
I mean, it's all the same stuff. You can go from one thing. I mean, I see guys, they'll post headlines from different sources, and the headlines will all be exactly the same.
Yeah.
And all major media corporations are owned by five different.
Well, have you seen Newsmax yet?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Newsmax is what I'm watching now. I'm not watching anything else besides that one now.
Well, you know, bless her heart, my mom, she's got Fox on all the time, and I'm like, well, maybe that's fine, but don't just watch
Fox. Fox is owned by a Democrat.
Don't just watch one thing, you know, try to watch.
You can't. Yeah. You have to on election night. I was surfing back between MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, because if you watch all three of them, you're liable to get a little bit of the truth. By putting puzzle pieces together.
What pisses me off, when I'll make a post on Facebook or something that may not be leftist enough for some people, and they'll be like, oh, well, you just watch Fox News. I haven't watched Fox News of my own initiative in years. I quit.
I had to quit watching it.
I mean, if it's on the TV, I'll watch it. Or if it's somebody that I feel is actually talking logical, I'll watch that. But
Tucker Carlson.
You know, but I don't watch Fox News to be watching Fox News. I don't watch CNN to be watching CNN. I try to gain a little bit of information from everywhere. And that's the problem with a lot of people in this country. They just take what they hear the first time as gospel.
Yeah, is it. That's what they do. They fail to look into it. The comment that I made about Harris, and looking back at it, it makes sense. But I was told over and over and over again and read on it and then heard it from enough people. But they were getting the same disinformation that I was getting, that even if Biden won, and he's not going to last all 4 years, there ain't no way, she's going to end up being president at some point in time, that I was told that she couldn't be president because both of her parents were not born of here. She was an American citizen, but she couldn't be. I was wrong. There's only three qualifications to be president, and I didn't know that. So anybody said that to you, I was wrong.
She wasn't from Kenya, huh?
No, not Kenya. Shit. Obama joke. We hadn't had an Obama joke yet on here.
Man, she was one from one of the new seven, you know, the 57 states.
Yeah. Man, she, it blows my mind with her, though. You have all these people that are from the urban communities, African Americans, that are just so excited if she becomes president. They don't realize that she has sent more African Americans to jail for nonviolent offenses than anybody in the history.
I know, man.
It makes no sense.
But she's got the look.
Man, 4 years ago she was identifying as an Indian, though. Right.
I know. First Asian Indian or
something. Yeah, it was something weird.
Yeah.
But also too, the people that are sheep in this country are never going to look into it. They're going to take what the media tells them. They're going to take what Facebook tells them. And after yesterday,
they're going to believe what they associate with,
yes,
whether or not it's true or not.
So they don't want to read into it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the sad part is it's like, if you can prove to me that something that I believe is wrong, I'll change my
views. I'm the same way.
But it's just so sad that people just believe what they want to believe, whether it's true or not.
I think it's convenient for them to believe it. I think it's
emotional.
Yeah. Well, it's like I had my mind blown recently. I was told by one of my friends to watch the QAnon stuff. And I've always liked conspiracy theories and everything like that. But I got so uncomfortable watching that I understood by the time it was over why people don't want to believe, or they only want to believe what they see from the mainstream media, is because it makes sense to them. It's comfortable. When your mind, when you just are getting your brain just all messed up.
Let me present this scenario to you, all right? Every little town probably has their child abuser, right? You could probably pull it up and then, you know.
I did after that.
Right. All right. Well, it happens on that level. Who's to say it doesn't happen at the higher level? I mean,
it has to. Because
those people have power. They can pay the judges off or pay whatever off and get away with all this crazy stuff that we don't like to think that they actually do.
Yeah, but they're just people. That's the thing. They're gonna make mistakes, but they have the power to cover up their mistakes. To where somebody around here or whatever, if they screw up, they're gonna be prosecuted and everything like they should be. But they don't have that power. They don't have that get out of jail free card like some of these, like a Clinton has. Bill Clinton, there's no way in hell if a everyday guy has done everything that Bill Clinton has done, he wouldn't be locked the hell up or some old man or husband done shot his ass.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of deep stuff we could talk about. I remember reading an interview about Mena, Arkansas, a little spot in the road. In Arkansas, where they used to fly up all the cocaine from Colombia, and I think even Tom Cruise played a movie recently where he was the pilot.
It's American made.
So it kind of had to do with that, but that's where he was flying in and out of mostly, right? So it's, but you know, during the time, Clinton was the governor
of Arkansas,
and you know, if it depended on how conspiracy theory minded you are, he was being groomed to be one of the next presidents, you know. I mean, how many friggin' rape accusations did he have?
A lot.
And how many times did he get in trouble?
None. He was. My thing is, if that would have happened to someone else, I don't know what his approval rating, because I was young then. Like, I was born in 87. His approval rating before all that happened had to be out of this world. Had to be out of this world. Because if it had been Trump or if it had been Bush, they would have been put on a cross and nailed to it the next day.
Well, we didn't have quite the vast expanse of media.
Oh, you're right,
dude. We are so constantly fed all this stuff.
You can't get out of it. You can't get out of it.
I mean, one of the worst things, in my opinion, to ever happen to the country was 24/7 media.
Yes, because they always had to have a story. I mean, they always have to have a story.
It's not about truth; it's about ratings.
It is.
You know, I mean, they could tell you they could tell you what they think you want to hear to get their ratings up.
Well, that's why the election's so screwed up right now, too, because the mainstream media has got so used to calling the races before they happen because they want to be the one that predicts it first. Mm-hmm. That they all jump the gun on every little thing, and should have never called Biden or Trump or whatever until every state had issued it.
I think the AP, the Associated Press, called it for Biden. I think they were the first. And then after that, all the news markets were waiting for Fox to call it because Fox are the conservative ones. You know, but they're starting to fall away. I mean, if you look at it from like the way they present stuff, you know. But I mean, they're all market driven too. I mean, they catered to conservatives just like MSNBC caters to far less. I mean, it's all part of the game. But the thing is, it's like, okay, well, somebody called it, but it's really not the press's job to call it. It's really the states who are going to throw their electoral college votes that way. So when that happens, then that's the legit official thing. But if there's all this stuff tied up in courts and there's legit evidence that there was fraud here, then you know, it's either going to go to the Supreme Court, like I've heard, you know, we've kind of discussed this, or I've heard you talk about it, or if it was just absolute fraud, I don't know if they can how they're going to do it.
Well,
I don't know
if they're going to throw it out or revote. If you go by what it says, every state has a deadline, and it is where every state has to send their representatives or something to a convention in December. If we do not have a deciding winner by then, every state, it is put in front of their House representatives. That House representative gets to pick their electoral votes to give to whoever they want it to give. So, like, right now with Michigan, Michigan's the one that they're talking about it might be screwing up because there's so much reported fraud. And they're having so many problems with it. They're thinking about just going and doing it what the Constitution or what the state, whatever it is, says. And it's where there's going to come down to a handful of people that get to give these electoral votes for the whole state away.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I heard this morning, and I get a lot of, I don't know how I got tied into all these little side connections and stuff, but somebody sent me a video this morning of this guy, and I mean, average guy wearing a ball cap, said, "Hey, look, my buddy that works in the government, he sent me this. He said, here's what's happening as of this morning."
You sent it to me, and I hadn't looked at it yet. I remember you sent it to me. I sent it.
Basically, it was all about the Dominion thing, how the servers are in Germany, how they weren't secure, how you had like thousands of votes that flipped just overnight.
Pelosi's husband is literally, I cannot remember if he's the owner or if he's just on the board, because I've heard both different ones today. How does Nancy Pelosi's anything get to be on a board of our election? That just shows how rigged it was. That's why with all the people don't get it, that's why Trump's putting up such a fight. I believe that everybody's wrong, and if it comes down to where Trump has actually lost, he'll be very peaceful about it. He'll walk away because I believe he's doing what he thinks America needs. He's been the first president that's actually been for America in forever.
Every conservative I know, we all want a fair election.
Yeah, that's it. If you lose, you lose.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's the way our country's set up. It's the way it should be set up, and it's the way it should be operated. It should be fair.
Yeah.
If the people want to vote an asshole, that's they get what they want.
Yeah.
You know, and the rest of us just have to kind of make do. But I mean, that's the process we're set up for, and I think it's a great process. People that are wanting to change that, those are the.
I do not think that our elections will ever be the same again. I think this is the last one where every one of us get to vote. There should be a process.
I mean, if
I heard it today, there's all right. We can do so many things from our phone. So many things. I understand that some people might be able to manipulate a text message or whatever, but they manipulated our votes, if that's the truth.
Yep.
Why not just everybody have a chance within a 2 or 3 hour period to send in, go to a certain website and vote? And you can only do it from whatever one time. Or how it would be, I have no idea how you would do it.
Unfortunately, hackers are
good. I mean,
they're everywhere. And you know,
but if you're hacking, I would like for it to be.
The only real way is for everybody to vote
in person,
and one representative from left and right.
Watch everybody.
And then somebody neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to legit.
I think what I would like to happen going forward, I think that you have to be either in the military or a public servant, a police officer, a firefighter, or someone. I would give up my right to vote for this. I think that it has to be someone who serves and protects this country. Your votes are the only ones from now on that matter.
I agree with that.
I mean, that's just, you got so many people that don't see. I have heard this argument from so many folks, and it pisses me off so bad. Somebody will ask, "Hey, how come you voted for Biden?" "Oh, I didn't want Trump to win." No, why did you vote for Biden? "I didn't want Trump to win." You don't realize who you're voting for. This man has been in politics for almost 50 years. He has passed crime bills that has destroyed urban communities and families.
His own video doing quid pro quo, whatever they call it. I mean,
he called them super predators.
No. It's on video where he's in the house or whatever, and he calls them super
pedos. But yet, if Trump calls the M13 members, you know, rapists and murderers, always also racist.
But that's who owns the media. That's the narrative that they're putting out.
Yeah,
that's what a joke it is.
Yeah, I mean, Trump, it's true. There's a meme floating around that says if Trump cured cancer, the Dems would blame him for putting doctors out of work.
Exactly, and it's the truth. What folks just do not get is, I break it down to everybody like this. I do not care who the president is. Has your community, has your home life been better in the past 4 years compared to the previous eight? If you say it was better in the past 4 years, regardless of your beliefs of Donald Trump, shit rolls downhill.
Yep.
He has made your community better. Your life better. You might not like him.
Well, I'll give this example. My dad's company, he's been in business since 1976. And, I mean, his taxes went down drastically after Trump got in. And, a lot, you know, I think they repealed the tax fine if you didn't have Obamacare. I mean, why would you get fined if you can't have health care? You can't afford it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, it makes
sense. It was a money-making scheme. I like to watch a lot of documentaries. And there's a whole documentary about just that whole process. And it's a joke. It is literally a joke. And people who don't, you know, a lot of people like to, you know, say I'm overboard with the conspiracy theories. A lot to say I'm far right and everything. I'm probably more liberal or independent than a lot of people realize.
I actually would describe myself as a libertarian with conservative and liberal viewpoints.
Yeah,
I mean,
see, I'm the same way. I'm not going to vote for Trump because he's a Republican. I'm going to vote for Trump because I think he's the right person for the job.
Right.
Now, I am the one.
Do you want a gardener in a war or a warrior in a
exactly.
garden?
Exactly. Yeah. That's that perfect example. I was one of the ones that I wanted Ben Carson to get the nomination a couple years ago instead of Trump.
I like Alan West, Ben Carson.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't about – I mean, at a certain level it's about character, but at a certain level it's about core beliefs or what you represent, you know, and just – I mean, good God, Ben Carson was a brain surgeon.
Exactly.
Brilliant. He came up from the ghetto. He had nothing. His family was on welfare. How many brothers and sisters do you have? It was a single-parent home. Yeah. I mean, he overcame. Want people like that leading you.
Yes. I have a girl that works for me. She's not from the South, and she voted for Biden. I don't have a problem with her voting for Biden because heir to each their own. Yeah. But when I asked her why, she gave me a couple things. She was like, Trump is he wants to take away abortion. There's a couple things that Trump wants to do. And I told her, I said, look, you get a pen and paper. You write down Trump positives. You write down Biden positives. And I said, you write them down and you see which one adds up more in the other column. I said, you are taking two things that you don't like about Trump, and that's it. You're taking away how he's going to make sure that your taxes go down. He's going to make sure all these things, that your quality of life is better. You cannot let – I disagree with a lot of shit that Trump says.
Oh, yeah. He says some stuff. I'm like, really?
There are some things, and it's the stuff that he puts out there, usually on social media.
Now, you know he misspells some things on purpose.
I'm so glad you know this shit. But it makes sense. It makes sense. If you know that everybody is going to censor you, if you know that every single person is going to censor you, even Twitter or whatever, and we saw it yesterday with Zuckerberg and everybody else being, whatever, I don't know if interrogated is the right word, but whatever it is, they're censoring certain people. I found out today, before you got here, did not know this. If you're listening, go check your Facebook settings. If you haven't been getting as many likes, as many views, or whatever on your stuff, and you are pro-Trump, they have added privacy settings on your Facebook. Did not tell anybody they added these privacy settings, but they have changed some of your stuff. I'm used to getting X amount of things for certain stuff. And like I posted something about giving away $1,000 yesterday with the podcast, and it got 2 likes and no shares, and I was like, What the hell? Like, what is this? And then I started a Facebook Live. It had 0 viewers. 0 viewers, all three times I did it. And I was like, oh, there's something wrong here. Let me go check my privacy settings.
I haven't even seen anything that you did.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Nobody has. But that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It's they, Facebook and everything else, are they have their algorithms or whatever, and they're censoring certain people.
Well, you've
right
got AOC saying that there should be a list for people who are pro-conservative because they, I mean, and their ideology is that we are the bad guys. You know, it's like to the extreme left, you know, we're just hardworking guys that won't, you know, believe in the Constitution. But to the far left, we're the bad guys because we're trying to uphold some semblance of a good medium of the road operating system.
It's we are the ones that remember that this was supposed to be our country, that it was founded for us to run it. Mm-hmm. You have people that are not strong-willed and strong-minded enough to make their own decisions.
Well, they grew up in cities where everything is so... it's almost like these major cities are so big, and there's so much welfare, so much. It's a weird dichotomy of all right, we're not our own, we're not individuals anymore, we're part of a collective. So you have the collective versus the individual ideals.
Well, to get back to the conspiracy stuff with that, if you want people to always vote for you, you make them dependent on you.
Oh yeah.
So that's what they've done. They have made generations. They have took Biden. Just to use it as an example. Biden has took the father out of so many inner city homes. Well, when you do that, then you have the mother raising. The mother then has to rely on the government. Well, the mother is going to pass that down to the child most of the time. So the child is going to see, hey, this guy's trying to take away our welfare, our government help and everything. I don't need to vote for this guy. I want to vote for the one that has made my life comfortable. They're making votes. They're literally...
The thing that I notice about people, and even educated people, I know this young guy at UGA right now, he has gone so far left, it's just not logical. And bless his heart, I'm not going to say his name, but it's like, dude, you need to slow down. Just because you came out of a small town, South Georgia, and went to UGA, and now you think you're this educated. It's like you need to come back to reality. Here's the thing. It's like, I'll go ahead.
No, that's fine. I like where he's going at, because you know who, well, you do, but the listener might not. You know who makes up, like, I think it's like 70% of Antifa and Black Lives Matter movement?
It's young white kids.
Yeah. Because when they get to college, it's not because the stuff makes sense. It's what's cool now. And then it is them being intimidated by other people into thinking it. Do I believe that Black Lives Matter? Yes, I believe all lives matter. But I do not like the Black Lives Matter movement.
But you can't say that because now you're racist. Yeah.
I'd say I'm a racist. I also, for anybody that doesn't know it, I don't like the Confederate flag. I understand why individuals don't like it.
Oh, dude, I was in a Southern rock band that fell apart last year. Yeah. I had $100,000 investor money. We did the album, did the videos, everything, did two full videos. We were ready to go, man. We could have walked in any door anywhere.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, the lead guy who happened to find the investor money, he was, bless his heart, he was just, I'm not even going to go into him. But this guy's like, all right, when we make it big, I'm putting a Confederate flag on my mic stand. By God, I don't give a fuck. Who cares?
You can't.
Like, I mean, it's just the attitude of it. It's like
the people who fly that flag for actual heritage, I am 100% fine with. Yeah. Don't have a problem with it. Understand, you have to explain why you fly that flag in a way.
Yeah.
That makes sense to an individual that has seen that symbol as a symbol of hate their entire lives.
Yeah. And I had that conversation recently. You know, I mean, you've probably got maybe elderly family members that grew up in a time where there was a certain train of thought.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard for them to get out of that train of thought. You know,
I've talked about it several times.
My 80-plus-year-old grandma, bless her heart, she's got some weird ideas that I don't like and I don't agree with. She was raised that way. It's hard for her to change her mind, you know, because you live 40, 50 years of your life thinking a certain way. It, unfortunately, it becomes ingrained in you.
It's all you ever know. It's like my thing with religion. I'm a Christian, and I believe Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But my thing with religion is if I would have been born in the Middle East, and that's all I would have ever been around, I think eventually I would have found God because I believe He is the only true God. But I would have been a Muslim because that was your environment.
Right.
Until I found real until I found Jesus Christ. I think it's the same thing with the culture that you're raised in. It's all you ever know until something smacks you in the face and says, no, you're not wrong for believing in what you believed in your whole life because that's what you've known, but that's not the right way.
Well, there's a proper way to just be a loving person. I mean, you know, Jesus was compassionate to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, even the worst of sinners. So, you know, there is a way to treat people. There's a way to interact with people. There's a way to talk to people. I'm not going to talk to the drunk jerk out in the street corner trying to start a fight the same way I'm talking to you now. Every situation is different, so you have to treat everything differently. Religion, unfortunately, to me, religion is kind of man's way of trying to describe God. I mean,
I don't do organized religion. Yeah. I believe that it's your own personal relationship with God. God knows me.
Important part. I mean,
I know my purpose in this world. He has shown it to me time and time again. I don't have to defend myself to anybody about my beliefs with it because that's.
With me, it's music. I mean, it's what I'm blessed with. I love it. I enjoy it. It's the direction I'm going. It's the direction I want to go. You know, everything else is kind of just a part of who you are at times. When you came to a revelation of whatever revelation you found in your life, it's like, okay, this was my identity, but maybe just now it's just kind of opened up and you kind of started to realize it. You know, that's part of it. You know,
I'll tell you, until recently. And like I said a while ago, and I wanted to wrap it back around to it, and the religion aspect of it is the perfect way to do it, is the QAnon stuff. I got my mind blown watching that stuff. But my thing with all of it was I like how they tell you to investigate the stuff, how they put the knowledge out there. Now, there's some of the stuff I don't. Like the time travel stuff. I have a hard time believing the time travel stuff.
Yeah, some of it's out there. Now but I tell you what, I think I sent you a video link about a month ago. This one dude did an assessment of when Trump was elected.
Yeah.
This guy did an assessment of why Trump went to Saudi Arabia, why he went to Japan, why he went there. And he had photo and video evidence of just body language, just things that he was doing that is considered uncouth or improper.
Yeah.
But when the guy explained why he was doing all this stuff, it made perfect sense.
It's really? Like, yeah. I'm going to have to go back and find that video.
They had to relink it because censored the name of it.
Well, isn't that funny? Isn't that the weirdest thing of it all? Every time something like that comes out, it gets like they take it off. They wash it. They don't want you to see it. That makes me think the stuff is more real than I already thought it. Because it's like, if you are trying to, I want to believe to the bottom of my heart that we live in a free country. But I don't think we do anymore, especially after this election.
There's no such thing as full freedom. Yeah, chaos in society would be chaos.
You can't. That's what I was explaining to somebody the other day. The stuff in Portland, Oregon, where they end up blocking off a couple city blocks, the mayor gave it to them and said, fine, start your own society. What did it last, a week before they started murdering again? You have to have lawmakers. You have to have law. You have to have people. Otherwise, because you know what? The sad thing about all of it is we're animals. We're human beings, but we are animals. We are savages by nature.
Or if you look at it from the Christian standpoint, we all have the sin nature.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
We're selfish. We're going to do what we want to do or what we feel we need to do to survive. I mean, it's just that selfish side of it. But as a society, there needs to be a general semblance of just peace and logic. I mean,
I agree with you.
I use this example with the whole anti-gun, pro-gun crowd, right? It's like school shootings. Nobody wants that. Mm-mm. Nobody. You know, except unless you're psychotic and you need to be put away. All right? So the pro-gun crowd wants more guns, more protection. The anti-gun crowd wants to just do away with guns.
But they're dumbasses, though.
Yeah, but they both want the same thing. They want safe schools, they want safe society. So the problem is not the guns. The problem is coming together and figuring out how to do it properly and just, you know, working at it together as a society. So it's, you know, at some point we've got to figure out how to get all this stuff together and just...
See, I think what we do, and it contradicts everybody else. Well, not completely everybody else. I think you relax gun laws. I think if you relax them, and everywhere you go, there's a chance that person might have a gun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna have deaths. I mean, you're gonna have deaths regardless. You got them now, but I don't think as many people walk into banks and try to rob them. I don't think somebody walks into a school
if they know the principal, the teacher, the guard at the front, it's all packing. I think it's the opposite, because right now drugs are illegal. Or besides in fucking Oregon, where you can get heroin and everything. Well, decriminalize. But bad guys and people who don't care about the law are still going to get these things.
The people, regardless. The people doing the most heinous crimes,
you're not going to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to figure out some way to do what they want to do.
So you give more good guys more firepower, and it stops them.
Or implement the right things. I mean, there are things in society that there are slight inconveniences with some things. You know, I mean, I'll get in this direction. The face mask thing. It's like, do they really work?
I don't think they do.
I don't think they work as good as people that believe in them think they do.
You know, I think it is a ploy. I think this whole election, I think Corona, I think it's a real disease.
They've been talking about it for a few years now. I mean, yeah,
I think this whole thing was they knew that there was not a chance in hell of Trump losing. I think that they knew that. I think this was a devised plan from the Democrats to get Trump out of office. I think they were like, okay, we're going to civil disobedience, civil disrest. We are going to keep people locked up in their house. The shit with George Floyd happened, and that shouldn't have happened. And it set people off. And then the mask thing. And everybody's being cooped up. They made it to where they literally get to see who follows them. Like,
I'm not disagreeing.
I think this was a setup.
Dude, with the way technology is, like the fake faces, the fake speeches, and the fake... you think about all the CGI that's out there. And all that stuff. I mean, you really have to be careful what you're watching, because you don't know if it's real or fake. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can put dinosaurs on a screen and it's like, man, that's real. It looks real, you know.
Yeah.
We don't know who they might be copying, what they might be doing. I mean, that's real kind of deep conspiracy theory stuff.
But it's reality. Because they've been tricking us forever. I mean, this goes back forever. Like, somehow they even made African Americans forget that Democrats were the ones who started slavery. They're the ones that didn't want it in. Like, they forget that until when did it flip flop from Democrat to Republican?
I don't know, but that's the big argument. Well, the Republicans are just the old
Democrats. No, the Democrats were the ones that did the majority of the damage.
I think it was
like kind of after JFK. Because I think JFK shook everybody up. And I think he would have been without a doubt the greatest president we had. I think he was the first one that came along and was
that we could go real deep into the.
Oh no, I'm fine with that, because I want it to be him. I ain't gonna lie to you. I want that dude in the fedora to be JFK Jr. so bad. But I'm also like at the point now too. It's like, if he's gonna reveal himself, doesn't this seem like the time to go ahead and do it?
It depends on how, I mean, we think in terms, of American culture.
Yeah.
I think this is bigger. I think it's worldwide.
I do too. This has to be.
If the corruption is that deep, and, you know, you got all these old Ukrainian oil companies and all this other corrupt money and corrupt politicians that have ties all over the world, I mean, it's bigger than just America, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not a deep state politician. I don't know the ins and outs. I can only make assessments of what I've seen and little things that I have seen that were leaked. You know, if they're going to take down the deep state, it can't be just America. I mean, it's got to be so many other things.
Absolutely. See, I think Snowden's in on it. I think that Snowden is a big part of it, and I think that's why he hasn't been arrested.
And Assange, yeah.
I think that there
have you ever seen the picture of Assange and Trump's dad? Or was it Trump's
granddad? No, I haven't seen that.
Dude, they look.
Man,
they look a lot.
Oh, no! I know what you're talking about. It's not Trump's dad. It's Trump's uncle.
Maybe they look a lot.
It's Trump's uncle. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah,
I mean, they could if that
picture was. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
They could almost be twins.
I think that with a lot of this, I think you're right. I think it would have to be where it was deep seated in a lot of other places. I just don't know, like. I think that's why Trump tried to make peace with even Korea. I think there's so many underlying things.
Well, for so long, and you know,
but I also think Russia's on our side. I think that the bunch of the shit with Russia. I think Putin and I think
Trump or boys, and I think that he knows that he's going to catch shit. Yeah. I think they're together.
I tend to lean that way myself. You know, do you see when Putin handed off the soccer ball to Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all symbolism.
Symbolism. There is so much symbolism. And now that when you learn to what to look for, you're like,
oh, yeah. I'm telling you. It's so many things. I was just watching today. Is it not? Okay. If you want to see something in real time, the dude that we're talking about, if you have not watched the QAnon stuff, watch it. It's the Fall of Cabal. And there's a whole lot more to it than that. But Fall of Cabal gets you on the path of it. JFK Jr. supposedly died, or whatever, but he did the magazine and all this stuff. I saw today, the guy who they think is JFK Jr., they wrecked his ass. The car that he was in gets wrecked. Have you seen it yet?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, no, it got wrecked yesterday. While he's in it. I'll show you. It got wrecked yesterday. Of all cars, of all Trump vehicles.
In what? In D.C.? Was it in D.C.?
I don't. It was wherever they was at yesterday. It was. Mm-hmm. It was. But it got wrecked yesterday.
So I didn't hear that.
I'll show you the pictures while we're sitting here. It got wrecked yesterday, and then he goes and he makes a video or whatever about them raising money, which I don't understand why they're still raising money for. I know it's to help the states with the recounts and everything to pay for it, mm-hmm. but it seems like Trump could just pay for that. I'm not sure why they're still raising money for it. But
well, I mean, I get a lot of requests. The sad thing, you don't know who's sending those sometimes. So crap. I get emails all the time. Donate to the Trump fund. Well, who's running the fund? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the fact that this vehicle got wrecked yesterday.
That is
odd. Oh, and right now, at this point in time,
it's almost like
it's. They're making stuff. The thing in the QAnon stuff, when it says, what is it? When so many things keep happening, it goes from being a coincidence to reality or whatever it is.
Yeah.
These things just can't keep happening.
I know. I've got some leftist friends who they refuse to even observe or look into the Q stuff. They're like, oh, that's just crazy. It's because somebody told them it was crazy. It's like, just do a little homework. It will probably open your eyes a little bit, probably more than you want to see.
I'm telling you, my mind was blown, dude.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's some stuff that's a little out there. I don't believe everything that comes down the pipe. But there's some stuff that is just too solid. You know,
the time travel stuff is where it kind of gets me.
I'll never forget. I was
you go ahead.
When I was. Gosh, I guess when the internet first came around, for some reason I got into the, I guess buddies of mine or whoever I had links with, they get into the conspiracy stuff, there's interesting stuff, I'm open-minded guy. I'm one of these guys, I'm open-minded enough to at least conceive or perceive anything, but not so open-minded that my brains fall out, right?
Yeah.
So that's me. So I'll at least contemplate anything because I like being knowledgeable. I like to research stuff. But for whatever reason, man, I've been in for, 15 plus years or so. Certain things pop up on my feed or certain friends get linked to me on either Yahoo user group or back in the day before MySpace or now it's Facebook or whatever. It's like these things just kind of keep coming around in my circle. I'm like, and then I will maybe hear some weird YouTube interview of some woman that was molested by... and I won't say any names because I don't want to get weird NSA censored, but just say a former vice president and they said, oh, he's got, and she would say, like, he's got this really big package and he used to scare some of the kids. Okay. And like a couple days later I happened to see a picture of this dude sitting down and you can tell the way he was sitting. The dude had a big package. I'm like, whoa, this is weird.
No, there's so many stuff. And I literally Google's probably scrubbed it. There is so weird with some of the stuff, how it comes about. And I just think that something life-changing is fixing to happen. I don't know what it is, but it seems like, with especially the way 2020 has gone, that this is a boiling point. And I don't know if I believe in the time travel stuff. I think that one day it's probably achievable.
but I don't know if we're there yet. And with the stuff that the George magazine had for 2020, the stuff that is happening now, and just the way things are going down, we've got a whole 70 million people or however many that have been snowed. They've just been lied to, and they refuse to look at what's actually in front of their eyes.
I don't know that it's that many people.
Honestly. Well, no, the voters are probably half of them's not even alive. But I don't know. I don't know what's fixing to happen.
I tell you, just for the record, I had a dream a while not too long ago. I dreamed that Caroline was made public, and after that, JFK Jr. Just in case it happens,
Caroline's wife came out as she was still alive.
That was a dream I had. I don't know if it's true or not. We'll see.
I think there's something there, dude.
I've had the rare dream that occasionally would come true.
I'm weird. See, that's funny that you say that. I'm extremely weird. It's almost deja vu. I'll have these moments to where something happens. It's never anything big. It's always something real little, but it's like, I've been here before.
When I was a teenager, first time I ever saw Bill Clinton on TV, didn't know who he was, something inside me said, that's going to be the next president. Man, it happened, so.
He's an evil, evil son of a bitch.
Man, there's so much corruption. So many drugs came through Arkansas back in the CIA running days. And I just know this because of stuff I view. It's not because I have insider information. I mean, it's just.
I know. I listen to, they say if you're ever in the CIA, you're never out of the CIA. And I listen to a lot of stuff with what they say is former CIA agents. Mm. And hearing them break stuff down that they have done to keep our country the way that they've kept our country, I mean, it makes so much shit make sense when you sit there and think about it. World Trade Center. There's no way.
Building 7.
Yeah. When I was 12 years old, okay, I was born in 87, so yeah, I'm like 14 years old when that happens, 13, 14. I was geared up, and I know what it did to me. It made me want to go join the military right then and kill Osama bin Laden or whoever did it, right? Okay, I know if it made me feel that way, it made every other guy feel that way that was that age. And we didn't realize that it was for something else.
Speaking of, you know, there are some reports coming out now that it wasn't Osama bin Laden that was shot and killed. It was his double.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably about 2-3 months ago that I heard that.
That one kind of fell away, didn't it?
Well, that's what they all do. Fucking Biden's laptop. How in the hell, and it's just the media, how is Hunter Biden's laptop not the main story 2 weeks before the election?
Snorting coke off his niece. It's like, how old is she?
14? Falling asleep with a crack pipe in his damn mouth.
And what? Did you see the one picture where it's supposedly some the Chinese chick that played, or maybe Japanese, I'm sorry, don't want to be politically correct, but whoever it was that played Mulan in the Disney live film?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, she was supposedly hanging out with him and doing weird stuff, and also and there was also a picture, I think it looked like Lady Gaga in the background smoking crack.
Well, you've seen the stuff with Lady Gaga the past couple weeks, right?
Well, the symbology with all her stuff, it's
she
like
she just did the weirdest video for it was right before the election. It was her kind of dressed in camouflage or whatever. No, it's going on now. It's in Georgia, I think. It's either what's going on right now, them trying to get people to push towards Osman or whatever the hell his name, I can't ever say his name right.
Osterman. Yeah.
And everything. But she's in camouflage. She's standing in front of an F-150 with a lift kit on it. She opens a beer, takes 2 or 3 swallows out of it, slams it on the ground.
She's some New Jersey little.
It's so weird. But you know what? I like how shit comes around. The rappers and stuff, when they found out that Biden was going to take 62% of their taxes, all of a sudden they're like, "Nah, you ain't taking my money. Mm-hmm. You ain't doing all this." And I just feel like really, there's people that have way more knowledge of this stuff than me and you. They know something's afoot. That is why this is the way it is right now.
It's a fight. I mean.
It's almost like we're watching good and evil, though. I mean, of course, you know, the left is going to say Biden's a good one. But in our mind, the people that you know, have faith and just want to work and everything, don't want handouts, that want this to be our country, we want to govern ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, them trying to make every person that votes for Trump a racist, that we're all this stuff. It's weird how hard they're pushing it.
When you listen to Trump give speeches to other nations or other groups, like, I don't know, what's the G Summit?
Yeah.
That kind of, when he gives speeches like that, it's very succinct, very well-spoken. It's very pro-American. Say, look, we're America. We're all for freedom. We're all for our process of fairness. But we're also not going to be the world's bitch. I mean, he doesn't say that, but that's basically what he's saying.
But that's why
he's pulled out of some of these accords, all this stuff. The rest of the world's just, the money's getting sucked out of America, and nobody knows where it's going. It's supposedly for, you know, climate change or whatever the big cause is that's popular. And so all this money that's getting sucked out of America, well, who's paying for it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I heard a story one time. There was a guy, it was some college, he was like doing a lecture or whatever with a couple more folks, right? And they asked him, because he doesn't believe in climate change. And they asked him why. This guy's a billionaire. He's got more money than we ever dreamed of.
I saw that.
Yeah. And they asked him, it's like, why don't you believe in climate change? He's like, let me tell you why. I'm still buying oceanfront property. People like me that have all this money, the ones that are saying that, you know, we don't want climate change, or let's give money to climate change, all stuff, they're still buying oceanfront property. And I had no idea where the guy was going with this, but he was like, we didn't get to where we're at by taking chances that we knew weren't going to pay off. He said, you have people that are saying that, you know, ocean's going to rise a couple feet or whatever in the next 10, 15 years. Well, why would you buy millions and millions of dollars worth of property? Billions of dollars worth of property there. And he's like, that's how I know it's not real. These same people.
And the insurance companies wouldn't insure you.
Exactly. There's no way.
Yeah.
That is people that want you to believe.
Where's Obama's house?
Yep.
Right on the ocean.
You have people that are such sheep that they only want to see what they're told. Is our climate going to change? Yes. It's changed several times since the beginning of time. You go through transitions. Mm-hmm. But it's what did it used to be called when all the continents were to get connected?
Pangea or something.
Yeah, it's something like that. It starts with a P. I couldn't remember what it was. But it went through a change. We're going to have another epic change at some point in time. And I hope it's just that California
we can
and that whole side of the country falls the hell off into the ocean.
I'm not going to argue with you. It could be another ice age. I mean,
exactly. You're going
to
have...
What happened to the ice age to make it disappear? They didn't have an industrial revolution back then.
Now, are we probably like pushing it along a little bit faster? Maybe, but not that much. Like, this world was made to last.
What I just hate is, like, the fear tag. It's like...
Oh, that's all it is. That's all it is.
The polar ice caps will be melted by the year 2020.
We're going to lose some polar bears.
What did Al Gore said, 2015?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, he is the vice president who is spearheading all this stuff. He should have access to the best information in the world. So he's making predictions that, the ice caps, all the glaciers will be melted by the year 2015.
You know how much money Al Gore has made off of all that shit, too?
Well, not just that. It's like all his buddies, the people in government. And we could get so deep with this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I am libertarian in the fact that I'm for limited government.
Yep.
Government should regulate the things that they need to regulate, and that's
and
it.
And leave everybody else to hell alone.
It's like...
You're damn right.
It's like, make sure society is well-run, you know, sustainable, and, you know, make sure people aren't killing each other. I mean, you know, basic stuff. But otherwise, let commerce happen. Let the markets do what they do. But it's gotten so corrupted in politicians and lobbyists and you know, these big corporations will buy out whoever and just all this.
Well, that's why they hate Trump, because Trump cut off all the lobbyists. Mm-hmm. Now, there's people in his organization that are still dealing with the lobbyists, he's not dealing with any of them directly, and they can't buy him. I think that's why they hate him.
I
think that's why all this shit, because I don't think anything really... The stuff with the child pedophile ring and everything, I think there's some truth to it. I don't think that's why they're taking the major stabs at him. I think it's because they know they can't control him,
And if something big came along and he didn't want to do it, he wasn't going to sign off on it. I think all of it is about control.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the history of the world. It's nothing new. You know, you have power players, people trying to do this, people trying to do that. It's nothing new.
Oh yeah, let's pause this. This is the best podcast I've done. We're not stopping it. So y'all hold on. Oh, first going, piss brace on. Well, we're back from our first piss break ever on the show.
It was necessary.
Everybody else, we just, you know what we do? We always just end the show. We're like, okay, it's past an hour. That's usually how long somebody can go with their bladder. But
we could probably just.
No, we are. We're running with this. I'm just going to tell you.
Chapter one, we probably got at least another one or two.
Oh yeah, no. This is we're still running. So I think it's just all that they're scared of them, and then this younger generation, as you was just saying, you know, they're different. And like you said, every generation has. We're always like, I look at them. I'm still considered a millennial. I don't like that I'm considered a millennial because I have a different way of thinking. But the let's just say 15 to 25 year olds, they're out of their minds. And I think, though, it is because they have grew up in the age of social media and they have been force-fed their entire... That's why all these votes and everything and these kids now that are supporting Antifa and everything, they're entitled kids already. They're not... You know, you don't see a lot of...
Well, to me...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, to me, you know, everybody wants to be a part of a good cause.
Yeah.
The trick to getting people to believe in your cause is to make it relatable
and cool. You know, yeah. And that's what they've done.
I mean, how could any different parts of society, with Germany, with the Nazis, you know, everybody says, oh, you conservatives, you just want a Nazi. How do you get that? It's like, you know, but it's all about presenting an idea, but presenting it in a way that it captures your youth.
Yeah.
You know, they say that the youth is the future, and it is. I mean, the way you shape the ideology.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, you have to present everything. If you're just looking at your world right now with no relation to anything that happened before you, you are really clueless. I mean, you need to understand your history. You need to understand other cultures. You need to understand other parts of the world and understand how this stuff works if you're going to make legit informed decisions. You don't just go off the handle and say, oh, well, you're a racist, you're a this, you're a that, without logically presenting or concluding things based
on... But even with that, there's always going to be racism. There is white people that hate white people. Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be hate.
A lot of that's tribalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Tribalism is just simply preference. It's like, okay, I was raised in this area of the world. I like this area of the world. It doesn't mean I hate this other part of the world. Right. I just don't live there.
You're not my people. And that's the thing. Like, and there's more. I relate with who I relate with. It does not matter what color they are, what culture they came from.
Yeah.
We either connect or we don't. The people that I don't connect with, I don't have nothing to do with. I have nothing to talk to you about. Not that I don't like you. If I seem like I'm an asshole to you, I'm not an asshole. I just, why have a conversation with someone that I don't want to speak to?
Yeah, it's, you could be rich, you could be poor, you could be young, you could be old. You could be talented, you could not have talent in the world.
Yeah.
I don't care. Are you a good person? Can we relate to something? Yeah. You know?
See, that's where with all of this shit right now is. I did a video earlier today. I saw this white kid on TikTok. He's young. And he said, all you Trump tards and Proud Boys and all this stuff, I bet y'all won't roll up. White kid now. I bet y'all won't roll up to the inner cities with your Trump flags and go hang around these gangsters with their gang flags. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what? If a gang member said that to me, it might mean something. I said, but this kid is literally trying to get someone else to fight for him because he's scared to fight. He wants someone else to go out there and battle and maybe die for his cause. And it hit me what that was. That is what the Democrats do to our inner city, to our urban, to people that we live around.
Well, it's almost the mantra of certain leftist ideology.
Yeah.
They think that, oh, well, the rich guy has to pay for stuff. Well, who's rich? The actors and actresses pushing this stuff. Are they going to pay for it?
Hell no.
No, they're not going to pay for it.
George Soros is going to pay for all of it.
I wish. Hey, George, I'm trying to start a record label. You got any money?
Shit.
You know, but no, it's like, here's the idea. Here's the ideology. Here's the premise of what we're trying to do. But, well, we're not going to say who's going to pay for it because you're ultimately going to pay for it. But we don't want you to know that because, you know, that's how we roll.
Well,
you know?
Well, they don't realize that they're not paying for stuff with money, but they're paying with their actions. Right now, the reason why so many people are voting for someone who wants to have a communist country is because they think they need this person. It is almost another form of slavery. It is a mental slavery.
Exactly. It's people, especially young people, that maybe they're from a single parent home, and they have that lacking part of their lives that they don't know what to fill it with. So they accept this ideology that, oh, this is the way. It's like religion.
Do you know who Candace Owens is?
Yeah, I love Candace Owens.
Candace Owens has a thing to where she talks about how the fall of the African American community, and she's African American if you're listening, look her up, Candace Owens, to where the fall of the African American community is a single parent home, the mother raising the children, because the father ends up becoming the government. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, guess who put those fathers in prison? It was Biden, it was Harris, it was these lawmakers. That the drug bills back in the 80s were Biden.
They're tough on petty crimes. And part of that, and this is a whole other thing, is like the part of it is the prison industrial complex. I mean, it's, you know, and bless, gosh, there's good people that are part of, I mean, they do good jobs working in the prison system.
Yeah.
One of my former pastors was actually a warden over several of the CCA prisons, which is a privatized prison. They handle like the illegal aliens and stuff. And part of that thing there is, you know, do you run the prisons by the state or do you subcontract out to a private company, which is what CCA is. They're a private company. They handle that stuff. They handle a lot of the illegal aliens and stuff, and I guess they have resources to where, like, for instance, in McRae, we've got a CCA. Just down the road in Alamo, Georgia, there's a CCA. I think there's one up near Millen or Waynesboro somewhere. There's a few across the state. Private prisons, right? What they do, they handle illegal aliens. So when my dad's got some rental properties in our town of McRae, had this big house, and when they first built that prison, they bought up guys from Puerto Rico because they were handling a lot of prisoners that were from Puerto Rico and maybe that area and spoke Spanish and whatnot, that descent. And so Dad would rent this house out to these guys. There were six of them. And they worked in that private prison until they got to a point where they could be accepted as citizens, and then they could bring their families up. So you got these six guys living in this house. But the thing is, I mean, it is a private prison, so it's for profit. Now, whenever you get into something like that, unless you have a proper board set in place or proper oversight, anytime it's for profit, there's potential for corruption. So that's the thing you really have to kind of try to manage. And I could see where, you know, government oversight, you know, quote unquote, could just as easily be corrupted because you got politicians wanting to make money. They're wanting to get their cut. They're wanting to do this or wanting to do that. I mean, that's just
lobby. That's where you just define lobbyists for people that don't understand it. It's where they're going to pay to get their stuff passed to where they end up making more money.
Yep.
And that's where
nobody goes into business to lose money.
No. And if you know that you can, it's not even illegal. I mean, that's the thing. Some of it, bribes and everything are, but if you're just scratching someone's back and you're just passing a bill or you're pushing for a bill, well, you know what? This person helped you out before. You're kind of entitled to them. Like you owe this to them. And that's where all these politicians are just so screwed because they're only worried about the people that helped them get to where they're at as far as lobbyists and other people go.
Yeah.
They forget that they're supposed to be providing a service for me and you and every American that didn't fund their campaigns.
In a way, it's a perverted form of representation because these bigger companies that have all these employees, you know, they're trying to make money as a corporation, and they're going to make their money, the owners, of course, and they got employees under them. So just say Delta, for instance, I mean, massive company. thousands of employees. You know, I mean, you know, they're going to look out what for, obviously for what's best for the overall profit and their employees. You know, so I mean, they're a bigger thing. I mean, Walmart. How many people work at Walmart?
A lot.
I mean, a million people. I don't know how many people work at Walmart. So there's it's a huge thing. So if a Walmart lobbyist goes to representatives and say, hey, we need to do this. We need to kind of make this happen. You know.
I guarantee you they're doing that right now anyway, because Amazon's going to put them completely out of business.
Yeah, and it's the nature of things. It's always been that way. It's not new. It's the history of the world. You know, people trying to get a leg up, people trying to make more, people trying to control, get power. It's just the way it works. But to me, government should be the thing that makes sure that the wheels are on right and running like they should. You know, and
yeah, but I think that's how originally it was. And I think that we've had presidents and politicians throughout time that have stood for that. But it always seems funny to me when you have somebody like a JFK, when you have somebody like a MLK, when you have somebody that this people like that push it in the right direction, Trump.
Okay? Why do you think MLK was shot?
I think he was tired of white people, a certain group, making people not. Oh, let me rephrase that because I messed that all up. I think that he knew that white people, a certain group of them, were still enslaving African Americans, but in a different form. I think that he knew, from kind of being an insider a little bit, I think that he knew what some of these government officials and everything really thought of the African-American community. And he knew that the only way for them to ever prosper was to work together.
I've got some my own little theory is that another reason they got rid of him was because he was also kind of starting to preach more anti-war stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And he obviously was, if you go back and listen to some speeches. So I think that it's probably a combination of the two. You
know? I think that they knew he could end up being, I think he was a force anyway. I think he was sent from God. I know he had some sketchy stories that the womanizing and stuff like that.
And you and I both know the first place he ever spoke was in Dublin.
No, I didn't, you know, didn't that. Know that. I had no idea.
You were a DJ in Dublin. You didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, when he was 14 years old, one of his first speeches he ever gave was at the African Baptist Church there in Dublin.
But I also tell you,
there's a mural there.
I didn't know that. I'll have to check it out. I also did not know until probably the beginning of this year that he did not die at the hotel where he was shot. That it is reported over and over again that there was people that came in that into the room he was in at the hospital. They spit in his face. Somebody ended up taking him out of the hospital.
Oh, that's not surprising.
I did not know any of that. But it's like, there's a picture of him. And it's because you didn't know no better. It's because whoever's listening is, I didn't know no better, so there's a good chance you didn't know no better.
Well, some of the stuff you have to really dig
for. Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You can go look it up, though. There's a picture of MLK after he was shot in the hospital. Some nurse took the picture. You never, ever see that picture because they want you to believe that he was killed there.
Are we sure it was a nurse? Yeah.
Well, somebody took it there.
During that time, somebody of his influence, it makes you wonder who was following him around. First of all, you know.
There was somebody on the inside with him. There's no way. Yeah. That's like with JFK. Him getting killed, people.
We know Bush Senior was in Dallas that day. I mean, he was right there part of the motorcade.
Who
ended up being the head of CIA?
How do you fire somebody? JFK, for y'all who do not know this, JFK fired somebody. If you want to see just a cover-up without digging into it too much, he fired someone, and then that person that he fired was the person in charge of the Warren Commission that investigated the murder of JFK. How does that? I just got fired from state broadcasting. I'm not putting the person who fired me as my job reference. Or call this guy. They're going to give you a good opinion of me. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
It's so corrupt. But to roll it back around to the QAnon stuff, JFK stated that he knew that there was so much corruption in this world that he wanted to take it out.
And he spoke against secret societies.
Yes.
Now, just think about that for a second. Just let's hit the brakes. Secret societies. We're not talking about government agencies. We're talking about secret societies. He said this. These are his exact words.
The videos.
These are his exact words. What does that mean, secret societies? We're not talking about, like, fraternities and little boys' clubs. What do you think they're doing in these secret societies? What do you think they're involved with? I mean, people just don't stop and ask questions enough. It's like, wait a minute, secret societies. Well, if they're just a bunch of good old boys that get together at the Moose Lodge and drink a few beers. No, it's I'm sure it's a lot bigger and deeper than that, and probably evil as hell, you know?
There's something that is so sketchy about so much of it. And I'm a firm believer that there are people that have been throughout time that have found out about it and were so close to it exposing it. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. If you look at all the people that have died in the past 5 years, 8 years or whatever, that are all connected to the same story, It is mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that all these people commit suicide.
With two bullets.
There's no way that...
People, oh, crap, I missed the first time. Let's do it the second.
Yeah, let's. I don't think there's been a person in history that's done that. There might have been somebody that kind of hurt themselves the first time and had enough strength to do it again, but there's this... But people, they don't want, it makes them so uncomfortable to think that, oh, my government's lying to me. Oh, my media's lying to me. No, they're not. Like, you have to understand, they're giving you the information that you need, and that's it. You have to do the rest of the research yourself.
Well, let's get back to the lobbyist thing. I mean, it's like, okay, if you do this favor, okay, well, now you owe us a favor.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in really deep, and we're talking life and death stuff where it's like you know information that could get you put in jail for life, or me put in jail for life, or me even executed as a traitor.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Do you think that, well, he might be still be alive. I don't know.
You think he's still alive?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he might be.
If he ratted, it's either they killed him or he is alive somewhere to where he will never, ever see the light of day again.
And that's totally possible.
He was never getting on the stand. If something will happen with old girl.
They might have. My thing is like if he had that much stuff on so many people.
Yep.
What if he just decided to cut a deal? Say, look, I want to live out the last 20 years of my life in peace. Just put me on an island somewhere. I'll give you everything. Yep. Who's to say they didn't do that? You know what I mean?
See, people. I don't think a lot of folks realize that with the other. What's her name?
Do you? Think about it. I mean, I'm not trying to cut you off.
No.
But think about it. All right. No cameras. Everything, no witnesses. Either he did it, or they shipped him off somewhere, made it look like a suicide.
Yeah, yeah. Either they took his ass out.
Either
or
one,
they took his ass out the back door, and they put him somewhere you'll never see him again. The woman that he was with, there's no way she was not in prison the entire time. She turned herself in as soon as that happened. I'll guarantee you, she was under Trump. She was under someone. That Trump trusted, that's the only reason why she's not dead. She's done put all, she had all her shit down somewhere, and I think that's one of the things that. But once again, how do you release it without the whole world losing their mind?
Well, that's the thing, I think about this a bit because if you present something that's so disturbing, people do lose a sense of themselves and a sense of society. I think, excuse me, beer's kicking in.
It's okay, mine is too.
But I think, I really think that that's why a lot of us are looking back and saying, hey, Trump, let's get this stuff done. Why isn't this happening? They got to do it in a certain fashion or else society breaks
down.
That's what
I keep telling myself. That is what I keep telling myself is that that's exactly right. If they were to just release everything at one time, I know what it was like for me watching that documentary. It blew my shit open to where I saw the...
You really need to watch that documentary I sent you, man.
I'm going to have to now. So that's what I'm doing tonight, so as we get done with this. I cannot look at the world the same way. I can't look at our country the same way again after that. And I'm just one person. I know how it made me feel. I can only imagine on a country that already is...
holding on by a thin hair right now with everything that's happened this year. There's no right way to release that information.
Well, that's true. I mean,
you have to, but then I think what happens, I think World War III. I think there's some bad shit that comes right out of it. The Purge. I mean, it's some ugly shit.
I'm not thinking that. I don't think that's going to happen. And here's why. I think I don't see how Trump is. You know, Trump has some amazing people behind on his team. He has to have some amazing people on his team to just all this stuff that they've been trying to get against him and him. You know, he tweets dumb stuff. It's like laser cat or a laser pointer to a cat. It's like, okay, here, go chase that for a while, you dummies. You know, that's the way I see it. You know, and then he'll misspell things, but certain things were misspelled for a reason.
Yeah.
If you type like children, you type in misspelled children, C H I. What was it? D L D L.
It's something, and the other one's the F. It starts with an F. He misspelled several things, but if you look up what it means.
If you do a Google search, like the misspelled word of children, it took you to some potential child selling. I mean, slave market. I mean, it's duh. You don't think that was not a coincidence?
That's the only thing that was uncensored. He couldn't have went in front of Fox News. He couldn't have went in front of none of the rest of the stuff. I think, and I will think this forever. I think the anonymous, I think the Q and everything. I don't know if the guy walking around is JFK Jr. I think that guy, I think whoever's behind Q, I think JFK is in charge of it, Jr. is in charge of it. And I think that there are people that they absolutely trust that have done it. I think some of these people that have even, they said, committed suicide, I think it might be reverse of what you think it is. I think with a lot of that blood print, I think they might have said, okay, it's time for me to slip off. I'm going to make it look like I'm suicide so I can go help behind the fucking scenes.
Let me tell you an interesting story. All right. I know I can't say the guy's name.
Yeah.
But apparently his bloodline is linked back to the King and Queen of England. And he can trace half of his bloodline, or he can trace his bloodline to at least half of the U.S. prisoners.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, I have no reason not to believe this guy.
Yeah.
And it's about to get weird in here, okay?
I like weird. I like weird. This is great.
I have no reason not to believe this guy. I won't say his name, but he shared with me some stories recently. I knew him from, I used to go to church. I won't say names and stuff just to, you know, not give away information. But he was sharing with me, he went through a really tough time. He went through some health stuff. He was on like 12 different medications for depression, bipolar, all this other stuff. And he's got some crazy stories. And I have no reason not to believe this guy, because we've sat and discussed stuff in detail. All right? You know, we're talking about people disappearing, right?
Yeah.
Now, his brother supposedly died recently. He worked at Robins Air Force Base. And he was just a mechanic, supposedly.
Yeah.
Well, when he passed away, they gave him a full flyover.
Really?
You don't get a flyover unless you...
How long was he at Robins Air Force Base, though?
A few years.
So not like almost...
Oh, no, yeah. I mean,
like almost retirement time.
Yeah, but the thing was, he told his brother, he said, look, if I happen to disappear, there's a good chance I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And he told his brother that. He said, I just want you to know. Whatever that was...
This is insane.
Whatever it was. But... If you're a mechanic on our, you know, at Robins, you just don't get a flyover.
Yeah.
Unless you really, it's like
you'd have Purple to be Heart at retirement.
It's like bigger than Purple Heart kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I had an uncle. His name was David. He taught me and my cousin all this extremely weird shit growing up. He had said several times he was very well off. He had said that he had been in the CIA, and then he was in charge of MARTA, or one of the ones in charge of MARTA in Atlanta.
You know what MARTA stands for?
It's the the acronym for it. But he had said that for the longest time that he was. Well, this is where me and my cousin are still freaked out about it to this day. So we're like 16 when he passes away. Well, he had been sober for 30-something years. He started losing his mind. Like, he started making weird phone calls to us in the night. He started teaching us about disinformation. He started teaching us about the thought police. He started teaching us about safe house. Like, he went into some weird shit with us. Well, then this guy, my uncle, all of a sudden one day, he dies from food poisoning. And it was after he had fell off the wagon and was spewing all this stuff. Like, I mean, he had lost it. His cheese has slid off his cracker. Now, whatever made it happen, we don't know to this day. But then all of a sudden, as he's starting to run his mouth about these type of things, he gets food poisoning and dies. It was always sketchy, dude. It was always super, super sketchy.
This dude that I know, and I hate to even talk about it because I don't want to get him in trouble, but he said he's hasn't had any episodes in a year. Yeah. But we've all heard the stories. Now, it's going to get really deep. We've all heard the stories of, I mean, there's thousands of people that claim that they've been abducted by aliens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it's always the same.
I believe in aliens.
It's always the same story. Their soul, spirit, whatever, leaves their body. They go up into the craft and they, you know, scientific experiments. It's always the same story of thousands of people. So, some people obviously probably, maybe they have some kind of psychosis. But when you have thousands and thousands of people relating the same story, well, now this guy's story... the guy that I know, he's had that happen to him, right?
Yeah.
But his story is that because he actually can trace his bloodline, that he was a part of all these really weird underground military base experiments. And, you know, in detail, he can tell you things. He can tell you that they put... and it sounds so weird. It's almost...
it doesn't to me because I believe a bunch of this shit.
You know, people are going to be listening to this stuff. It's like, this guy's crazy. I'm just telling you what I was told. And I have no reason not to believe this dude. Because he went from being, like, extremely anti-Trump, hate this, hate that. I mean, he flipped on a dime. And I'm like, what happened to this dude, you know?
He saw something.
Well, yeah. Anyway, but he had these stories of where, when he was a kid, he'd have these abduction experiences. And they would take him to these military bases and stuff. And he said the only way he could explain it was like just like thousands of alien experiences where they, you know, take you out of your body, you go up into the craft or whatever, and they take you somewhere else. And he said that they would insert him into another body, and they would go through these tests, they would go through these military training things. He said he remembers in his mind actually killing people. I mean with detail. Now, is the guy crazy? Is he making all this up?
There's always a chance that he's telling the truth, too.
But he went to apply for a job recently. And he went to apply for a job when he was like 20 years old.
Yeah.
When they pulled up a Social Security number, it said he had 12 years of military experience.
That's weird, dude. That's weird. Yeah. I mean, there's something behind all those, though, because the reason why... I can sit here and I can believe that story without getting freaked out. It's because if you go look up on Facebook, not fairly Facebook, you go look on Google or you really search shit, you'll hear a lot of people that have those same encounters. Mm-hmm. Now, am I going to believe every single one of their stories? No. But if you've got so many people, I'm not talking like 10. I'm talking about like 10,000, yeah. 100,000. When so many people have the same story, it becomes believable, even as unbelievable as the story is. Because these people shouldn't know each other. If you ever find a story and it's on opposite ends of the world, these people have never met, there's not a chance in hell they should have the same experience in life, but they have the same weird experience, there's truth to that.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Bigfoot. There's reports of that, and hell, even... you know, 1,000, 2,000 years ago, writings of giant men. I mean, it's like, you know, we're not talking like 7 foot tall. We're talking about 9, 10 foot tall. Yeah. Do you know that, you may not know this, when the colonials were settling in the Niagara Falls area, they found a cemetery of about 1,000 bodies. The average height was about 7 foot, the skeletons. The average.
Yeah, see, there were different, depending on where you were born and depend on your environment. Bodies adapt. I'm a Christian. A lot of people don't like to believe in evolution. Evolution doesn't have to be you came from a monkey to where you're at now. Evolution is, hey,
I live in Africa. My skin needs to develop more dark melatonin or whatever it is to where I don't burn every single day.
Yeah. The thing is,
your environment has a change on your body throughout.
Yeah.
The thing is, though,
we're starting, the science will even show some of this, is that we adapt way quicker than what they
initially thought. I think we do too.
I was helping my sister with some of her online biology college courses. And so we were doing this thing on they did a study on eggs in some chicken farm in Sweden. I happened to find this article, and it was cool as hell because I'm like, they did this experiment where they took the chickens in this chicken house in Europe, right? All right, typical chicken house. We got them in South Georgia. You know what they smell awful. So they took these chickens, put them in another environment, a different chicken house, and they put strobe lights in there and started playing like crazy chaotic metal music, right? And these chickens got to the point where they couldn't even like operate normally. It's like their brains were getting scrambled, all this flashing lights and crazy metal music, right? Well, they took those chickens and put them back in their normal environment, and they went back to normal, right? And the experiments they would do, they would like put them in a maze, and they couldn't, like before, they could like work the maze, go find the food, no problem, kind of like mice, right? But when they were in that chaotic environment, they couldn't do it. So they put them back in their normal environment. But then they studied their offspring, the eggs that hatched, the chicks that hatched. The chicks
were operating it, couldn't they?
No, they were exhibiting the same characteristics
in the regular environment, the ones that were
incubating in that chaotic environment. So that environment affected how the chicks reacted. Now, what does that tell you about biology? It's like we can adapt in the first generation, but they don't really study that kind of stuff. They don't really do experiments like that.
There's no way that we don't adapt. I mean, there's no way. The easiest way to put it into context, somebody, if you live in South Georgia, you develop an accent.
Yeah.
If you go to Louisiana, you're going to develop an accent. If you don't think you can develop other traits to your environment, you're wrong.
But the point behind all that is, biologically, science will tell you that, it takes thousands of years for adaptation, or millions of years,
whatever. Maybe major ones.
But as far as behavioral patterns,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of that stuff, and there's even studies being done now that DNA, here's a thought that a lot of people don't like to think about, and it can get kind of controversial, but just think about it. You know, a baby is being formed in the womb. Yeah. It's biologically connected to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
If the mother feels something or goes through something traumatic, what's that baby? What kind of information is being imparted to that DNA of that baby?
Yeah, see, I think that's where when people have depression, anxiety, all these other traits,
mm-hmm.
I think that it comes from things that happened to the mother while they were pregnant.
Yeah, well, think about this.
I think it passes it on.
What about people who are sexually confused? They don't know if they're straight or bi or gay. Maybe they've grabbed onto something that maybe happened to the mother. Maybe the mother wanted a little girl so badly that... But it was born a male.
I've never thought of that before.
But that information, all that stuff, it was imparted to the baby. And somewhere deep inside, they can't explain it. I just always feel like I should have been a girl.
Because your mom thought you should have been a girl.
I mean, it's biological. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, morality or spirituality.
Yeah,
we're talking about something that it could potentially be biological, but nobody really wants to research this because then it could actually
Research it? Because it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. I've never thought of it from that aspect before, but you're right. And it makes me uncomfortable. Because it makes so much sense.
And let me qualify this. I'm not saying I'm anti-gay, anti-this, anti-that.
I love the gays.
I love the lesbians, right?
Oh yeah, I love them all. I got a bunch of gay guys that follow me. They are cool as shit.
But I'm really talking from a biological standpoint because I've got some great gay buddies from college and different things. And it's like, you know, they're cool as heck. I mean, some of them are conservative, pro gun. You know, I mean. I mean, we all have our different walks, and I don't fault anybody. It's not my place to judge anybody, you know.
No, so we all got our own sins.
Yeah, exactly. But from a biological standpoint, it's like so much happens. The fetus grows so fast, and so much information, and so much stuff is happening in the development of the fetus stage. It's like if the mother goes through something traumatic,
it makes sense. Yeah. It really does. You're incubating. And you're going to feel the effects. You're attached.
Yeah. I mean, we evolve. Well, we also adapt. Just nature. I mean, if we're being incubated, if we're being formed, and our external whatever are causing us to grow a certain way. I mean,
yeah.
our carrier, our mother, you know, in the case of nature, all the things that she feels, reacts to, trauma, whatever, that's going to be imparted. You know, and think about it.
Like
alcoholism or any addiction, it's like...
it's passed on.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the genetic code. And there are even studies being shown where how the environment you were raised in can actually switch genetic codes. I mean, you know, there's a lot of research being done in that now, but it's really interesting stuff. I mean...
I'm going to have to look more in depth to it. I want to cover one more topic before we get off here because it's one of my favorites.
We're going to have to do this again.
I know we are. This, by far, if you're listening to this and you've done a podcast with me, Chuck has hit the nail on the head. I've been wanting to do this one right here. We are all going to do this one from now on. This makes me happy.
Just bring some beer, okay?
That's what we're supposed to do. I want to cover aliens before we get off here because every one of my friends... in my close circle thinks I'm insane because I believe in aliens.
Well, you might think I'm insane when I throw out some ideas.
Well, I can't wait to hear those, but let's just do the aliens right now. What is your stand on aliens?
Well, that's a loaded question. Let's go back a little bit, all right?
Okay.
Just say we're both Christians, right?
Yeah.
We both believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
We both believe the stories that the Bible tells.
Yes.
Now, my problem with a lot of religious people is they look at it from a very childlike standpoint. But if you dig into what the Bible's saying, there's some deep stuff. You just got to know how to. It's like looking for the signs. You got to know what to look for, right? All right. So now there are some gray areas that I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure about. Were there different race, different types of humans? You know,
yeah.
Like you've probably seen the elongated skulls and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, was there another? Maybe a subhuman race or an alien race or something came down, and you know, maybe there were more than one terrestrial being here at one time. Maybe maybe humans are like the third revision of who was here. Who knows? You know.
Well, look at it though. Like this, and this is why it makes sense. Is we don't look alike.
Yeah.
You know, there's different strands. If you want to go back to DNA or whatever, I'm 5'9", 5'10". You got men walking around and women walking around this world, and they're 7 feet plus tall. Now, if you're looking from the outside from the outside looking in, are we the same? We're not the same. We might be human beings, but there's something different about us, and it had to come from somewhere.
Here's where I have a problem with evolution. I actually think we're in somewhat of a state of devolution. When you think about things, it's like. And here, this is where it gets kind of, you could get kind of biblical with it. You know, way back in the Bible days, wasn't no problem to marry your first cousin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, wasn't no genetic defects, nothing like that. Were the genetics more pure? Have we gotten polluted as time has progressed?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they even made, you know, it's argumentative that they made laws that only, you know, when you got married, you had to have a blood test to make sure if you had babies, everything was cool, you know. And there are certain things that pop up if you do marry too closely to your bloodline. You know, I mean, that's just science, right? But way back in the day, it wasn't a big deal. So were the genetics more pure? Well, if that's the case, then at the starting point, it had to be the purest. So we're not evolving. We're kind of de-evolving from that point genetically.
Genetically, it makes perfect sense.
So anyway, having said that. Was there a point at where we were created, if you believe the biblical version, we were created, okay, boom, here's Adam and Eve, or, you know, and I believe Adam and Eve was just a typeset. It's kind of like electing a president, he's just a representative of. So Adam and Eve was a representative of what maybe happened. I don't think they were the only people on the planet at the time, but.
That's where I get tripped up with that story, is because it would take so long for them to reproduce, then reproduce, then reproduce.
Well, it really doesn't take that long if you do the math. I mean, you could legit.
You pop one out every 9 months, but then, but as far as their lifespan goes, how many times could they have done that? I mean, it was easy for him.
Well, here's where it gets a little deeper for me. It's like, okay, what was happening before Adam and Eve? You know. What you know, the American Indian, American Indian culture. There's like, okay, we're there are like five appointed times.
See, I think that's the thing about faith, though, is I don't think I'm supposed to understand, and I think that the story of all of it is too big. What I get pissed off with people is when somebody like wants to say something about the dinosaurs or something like that, and it's like, no, this is fact. You're wanting to say that dinosaurs didn't exist because of your religion. You can't say that.
But then you have reports from cultures from like in France in the 1500s. There was a report of a knight killing a dinosaur or a dragon, as they called it back then.
But that's what I think it was. I think that exactly what you said is. But to go back to your original point with all of it, about the interpretations of those stories, like in the Bible and other stuff, and with dinosaurs and medieval culture and everything, would it not make sense that with those stories, and there being so many of them, accounts of it, to where it was probably the last of the dinosaurs? But I don't even think all dinosaurs are gone. I think that there's so much of the ocean that's not discovered.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you there. Think about this, dude. There have been missionaries that reported seeing animals in the jungles of the Congo that were exact representation of the dinosaur. They couldn't take pictures because they're 500 miles in the jungle, right? All right, and there are tribes that have described, what is it, the deciduous, the big ones with the long necks and stuff.
I know you're talking about.
Only they can't grow as big anymore because our atmosphere is different than pre-flood, right? So anyway, there are actual eyewitness accounts of those things. Now think about the Congo, the jungle in Africa. The Congo is as big as the continental United States.
Yeah, and dense.
There is no telling what
dense.
There's no telling what's in there.
No, you'll never ever know all the creatures that still live here. There's no way in hell when you still have tribes. We're living 2020. Mm-hmm. When you still have tribes that have never seen a city, that have never seen a car,
never seen a white person.
Yeah. If people can make it that way, you don't think animals can?
Oh yeah, yeah. We got fish that were supposed to be extinct getting caught every year or two or so,
Screw up and they go in the wrong place.
That's like, but you know, all the reports of dinosaurs, the carvings they're finding on statues and stuff. It's like, well, I don't see how that could be anything else. I mean, that's got to be whatever. I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of dinosaur. It's like, oh, but they were just using their imagination. They weren't really around then.
No. You only paint what you see. You go to, all right, if you go by what a lot of people think, and it kind of goes against what you said about us, like, devolving, people then would have been simple, right? Like, they would have been simple-minded creatures, right? So they wouldn't have had an imagination. They would have only drawn what they saw. That's like some of the stuff, because I'd originally asked you about aliens.
We got way off.
But when I originally asked you about aliens, that really brings it back around to the drawings. There's some stuff that are drawn in different parts of this world that these people were simple. Mm-hmm. They would not have just made this up. And there definitely wouldn't have been somebody 100,000 miles away from you on another continent.
Strange petroglyphs, man. That's like,
there's no way.
And carvings too. It's like,
well, I know how difficult it is for grown ass men today to build a house. You're with real tools. You're telling me with like the pyramids and stuff that there wasn't something else.
Oh, it was a tomb. They moved over a million blocks that were over 2 tons each to make a tomb. Yeah, whatever.
No, there's something under them. Why don't my If I had all the money in the world, and I could do whatever I wanted to, that'd be one of the first things I did is deconstruct the pyramids. I'd build it right next to it. I would deconstruct it and put it exactly how I found it next to it, because there's something there.
It's got to be something interconnected. I mean, there's pyramids all over the world. You know, there's slowly guys that are doing research. Like, you've seen the Bosnian pyramid?
Uh-uh.
Well, it's a mountain shaped exactly like a pyramid, only twice as big as the one in Egypt.
Really? It's called the Bosnian Pyramid.
And there's actually stone steps at the base of the mountain and a couple of caves going into it. That's a weird one. You need to look that up.
Oh, shit.
We'll talk about that next time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to have to end this one. Dude, I appreciate it. This is what I have been waiting on. I love everybody else has done one so far. But like me and you's on the same, we're on the same place here.
That's really scary.
It is. The next one that we do in a couple weeks, you know Lee Tucker?
I know Lee.
Lee is my best friend. He believes in all the same shit that me and you believe. Oh, he's going to be down here.
We need a lot of beer.
We will. I will bring whiskey, beer, whatever we need.
Can I sleep on the couch?
Yes, you can stay right here. It's not this week, but it's next week that he'll be down here. You have to come back. We will do this with him. And the three of us will go down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. We will get weird. And it'll be great, man.
I don't have a problem going down rabbit holes. I mean, as long as you can crawl back out of them.
I'm doing my best. Dude. It was perfect.
Dude, there's so much stuff we could talk about. We hardly touched on music, man.
I know. This is the first one I haven't done in music. All the ones I've done lately have been about music. Yeah. So this is perfect. Well, man, I appreciate it. And until next time. Man, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah.
Cool. All right, folks. Well, thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast. I'll catch y'all next time.